who's a group of women who've come to anoint Jesus' body. Now, these women, they'd been following Jesus along the journey to Jerusalem with him. They'd been attending for his needs. And then when they got to Jerusalem, things didn't work out as they expected. Why? Because Jesus was betrayed, he was killed, and his body was laid in a tomb. And this group of women, they've been part of their serving Jesus. They want to show a final devotion to him. So they go to the tomb to anoint his body. It's their last act of service. In their grief and sadness, they go to him. And when they get there, they find that things weren't as they expect that to be. What? Well, they find firstly that the tomb stone had been rolled away. And then what is more, the tomb was empty, and there was an angel inside who had to tell them what had happened. The angel said, "Do not be alarmed," this is verse 6, "you are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified." Well, that is true, isn't it? He had been crucified on Good Friday. He'd been executed and killed. But then he said that he has risen. He is not here. But go tell the disciples of Peter, he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you'll see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now you can understand that, can't you? You can understand why they were bewildered. They were confused. They couldn't understand what was going on. Why? Well, let's take the story back to the beginning. I've got here a tree. Like Eastern tree. But I want to imagine this tree represents the tree of life. Okay. So there's the tree of life. Life that God has given into the world. Life that is that we enjoy and experience take for granted every breath that we take. Life from God. And God gave life into the world. It was his to give. And he freely bestowed it upon the world. This tree of life, do you remember what happened when humanity turned against God? They sinned. And they rejected God's word. They wanted to be in charge of themselves. So they said, if you like, to God, "No, thank you. We want to be in charge of ourselves." And of course, that's been the experience of humanity ever since. And I want to call that the wall of sin. The wall of sin. And the wall of sin, if you like, cuts us off from the life of God. And the result of being cut off from the life of God because of our sin is that the experience of this wall isn't just of sin, it is also of death. Because we're cut off from the life of God. And that, of course, is spiritual death as well as physical death. And of course, we know the reality of that, don't we? We know the pain and sadness in our lives. And ever since that first sin, the experience of humanity has been death. And death continues to march on in our world, doesn't it? It does. The wall of death. And it is there, and it is impenetrable, isn't it? And what are we to do about it? You see, when the women, they went there in their grief, expecting to find Jesus' body, because that's what happens. It's what Paul calls in Romans the reign of death. That there, as people of God, they went expecting to find death. And what did they find? Actually, the tomb was empty. And that for them was more bewildering and confusing than the grief of their loss, because the tomb was empty. Now, in Mark's Gospel, it's the fourth time that they're told that Jesus was going to rise. They just couldn't understand it. Why? Because the wall of death looms over all of us. Well, what can be done about that? Well, people try different things. And I brought with me my bag of attempts. My bag of attempts. The Finding Nemo bag of all things. But anyway. We'll pull something out of my bag of attempts. Go on, you go first. Choose something.
I know what's going to choose. Funny that. Who's that?
Belle.
Belle. Let's have Belle. Right, now
here's one attempt that people try to deal with death, okay? And Belle, of course, is she's a good girl, isn't she? From Beauty and the Beast, she looks after everyone else, she does nothing wrong, she even cares for an angry beast. Okay, she's the ultimate goodie, isn't she? Yeah? She's a good person. Well, people have tried to be good and do good, haven't they? They've tried to make the world a better place. They've tried to be kind to others. But the problem is that however much good we do, it still doesn't deal with the problem of our sin, does it? Well, even when we try our best, we still fall short. Trying to be good, what do you think? Choose something. Go on. Not a big decision. Ooh, what's that? So I think people do. Have fun. Yeah? Have fun. You know, we have one life, we make the most of it. So we enjoy our life as best we can. And therefore we don't think about death. We try to put it off. But in the meantime, we just make the most of it. We have fun. That's another response to this wall of death. Okay, so what have we got there? Okay. And look, how else people deal with death? How are we to overcome death? Well, of course, lotions and potions, anti-wrinkle creams, and all the rest. If you've got those crow's feet, well, there's a potion out there for you. We try to put off death. Why? By making ourselves look younger and feel younger. Yeah? But death comes to us all, doesn't it? Thank you. Money. Well, you know, we try to earn money so we can make our world nicer. We make our world nicer. The more money we have, the more nicer things we can do. And so we try to put off death that way. It's a bit like fun, isn't it? Yeah. We try to distract ourselves with enjoyment, or we try to distract ourselves by making the world nicer. Death still comes to us all. Ooh. Candle. Well, here's a popular way to deal with death. Religion. You know, you kind of you look to something outside of yourself, and you go to church. You might do churchy things, you might even pray, and you hope that kind of somehow doing that will mean that death won't have a final say over you. Well, I need to think very carefully about this one. And I want to say this, let me be very clear today, that religion, going to church, will not beat death. It will not beat death, because it can't. It's utterly powerless, ultimately, to do anything. Am I thinking, surprised you're saying that? But it's true, isn't it? Medicine. Well, a bit like lotions and potions. You know, healthcare. We try to put off death. We try to beat death. We prolong life and we cure illnesses and all of that. Rather like we might make ourselves look younger. We try to prolong life, and that's often relieves suffering and all the good things that come from that, but we can only prolong life, can't we? We can make people better, but we can't make them live forever. Death still reigns. I've got one more. What's that? The dice. Of course, there are some people, aren't there, who just think, oh, I'll take a chance. You know, we don't know what will happen when I die. Maybe I'll kind of hedge my bets. Maybe I'll live as though, you know, there will be something afterwards. Maybe there won't. I'll just take a chance. Money. One last quote. That's an interesting one. The star. That's it. Well, I'll put a star in there. I was just really struck yesterday at Stephen Hawking's funeral. Stephen Hawking was a scientist, and he, thought and wrote about the universe and the world. One of his friends, the Professor Faye Dawker. She did a tribute to him at the funeral. This is what she said. She says, "I, like many who knew and loved him, had come to think of him as immortal, and our sorrow is tinged with a feeling of disbelief that he's no longer here. But his influence and legacy will live forever." Well, there's a way to beat death, isn't it? It's to have a legacy. A legacy. The only problem is that if having a legacy to be immortal means that you've got to be a Cambridge academic with a brain the size of a planet, kind of like them, you know, what hope is there for kind of most of us? Well, no. But here's the sad thing. I'm sure history will remember Professor Stephen Hawking's, but I suspect in a couple of hundred years, very few people, apart from some astrophysicists, will really give him much thought. You see, the point is that, you know, he was thought of as immortal, said Professor Dawker, but he is no longer here. Well, different ways, aren't there? Different ways by which people try to deal with death, to overcome death. But we're told, aren't we, wonderfully, that Easter is the solution. Easter is the way by which we can beat death, and it's through Jesus Christ. The women were bewildered by it. They couldn't understand what it all meant. It was too much for them. But as Jesus then taught his disciples, as they reflected on it, they started to help us understand what it all meant. I'm going to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. And it's a verse that reminds us of what God has done for us in Jesus. He says, "This good news that we have has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought to life and immortality to light through the gospel." Isn't that good news? See, this is when Jesus rose again. He did something. He did something. He changed the world forever. And we're told in that verse that Jesus did two things. The first thing he did was that he beat death. He beat death. Well, how did he do that? Well, he dealt with the problem of our sin, didn't he? And by dealing with sin, he could deal with death. And so the barrier, this great wall of sin and death, has been destroyed. Isn't that good news? Because he died on the cross and he bore sin on the cross, he was like the sacrifice of God. He took the punishment for our sin, so that when we trust Jesus, we turn from our sin and we put our hope in him, guess what? We're forgiven. And if we're forgiven, then death has no claim over us. And we can enjoy the life of God. So Jesus' resurrection wasn't just good news for him. It wasn't so he could enjoy new life. It was so that all who put their hope in him could also share in his life. Jesus beat death. Isn't that wonderful? He beat death. All humanity throughout all ages is trying in different ways to overcome death. Either by just ignoring it or by trying different things. But Jesus beat death. He could do what we could not do for ourselves. But as well as beating death, we're also told in that verse that he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He brought life and immortality. Now, Christians die, don't they? But here's a word Jesus said, again, trying to help us understand what his resurrection would mean. John 11. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." So in this world, we might, our bodies will come to an end, that we will go to the grave, but when we trust in Jesus, we have his life. Not just in the future, but now. And we enjoy that eternal life forever. That is life and immortality. It's not living life to the full. It's not just kind of trying to cope with life as best we can. It is to know the life of the deathless God. Isn't that good news? To be with the Lord forever in heaven. If you go out into the churchyard, you will, on a number of graves, you'll probably see three letters. Guess where they are, maybe grown ups there. Three letters you find again and again on our graves. I heard several things. R.I.P. Okay, R.I.P. Now, I didn't know this until this week, but that's Latin. Does anyone know the Latin? Go on, someone knows it. Well done! Woo! Maybe this will leave a legacy. Well done. Requiescat in pace. May he rest in peace. That's what it means. May he rest in peace. And I want to say, that's only half the story, isn't it? That's only half the story. We don't want to say just you can rest in peace as though this life was all there was and now you get to put your feet up forever. No, no. When a Christian dies, they're never more fully alive. They're never more fully alive. Let's put on our gravestones CCD. Christ conquered death. Yeah? Christ conquered death. Let's put that on our tombstones. He destroyed it. He overcame it. He beat death. And that is where our hope lies. Jesus came out of the tomb. He is risen. He is not here. And as Jesus comes out of the tomb alive, raised by God, he gives life to all his people. True, everlasting, and immortal life. Let me read Paul's words again to us. Of Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death, and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is our hope. This is why we celebrate on Easter Sunday, isn't it? Why we don't fear this wall of death. Yes, it looms over life, but it has not had the final say. And so on this Easter Sunday, we're reminded, aren't we, to trust Jesus. To trust him. Not in yourselves, not in your potions and schemes, not in your ability to do good or to say prayers. Don't trust in yourselves. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. When you turn from your sin and put your hope in him, you're given life forever. That's why we celebrate Easter Sunday. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus beat death. Thank you that he overcame sin and he gives life to all in him. We pray, Father, that today we would celebrate that life. Please would we turn from our sin and turn to Jesus, living in obedience to him and trusting him with our lives, that we might know his eternal life now and forevermore. Amen.